Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on February 12th, 2015. Voted Best Local Radio Show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we're looking for a repeat. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. What a gorgeous day.
Yes, well, the weather is amazing.
It's like August down there.
we set a record, I think, yesterday in Long Beach for temperature, and it's going to be another warm day, a little mild Santa Ana condition. Like, it's like the middle of summer. It's very strange.
Yeah, get out the bathing suits.
But of course, there's lots of heat in Redondo right now because there's so many exciting things going on in the South Bay, and in Redondo in particular, Measure B is going to be on the ballot. Jackie, who do we have as guests today?
Our guests this morning are Todd Lowenstein and Jim Light. Todd Lowenstein has 20-plus years' experience in technology sales, operations, management, and business development. He is well-connected in the local political community, having served as the president of the Redondo Beach Unified School District's Board of Education. Todd is the president of R4, Redondo Residents for Responsible Revitalization. R4 is a political action committee comprised of residents, political leaders, and business owners that is dedicated to preserving and enhancing the quality of life for Redondo Beach residents through education, advocacy, and legislation of responsible development. Todd also serves on the Department of Commerce's Industry Trade Advisory Committee on Telecommunications. His work experience includes serving as the CEO of ArcoStream, a streaming media services provider. Previously, Todd served as the VP of Streaming Services at Raindance Communications, a NASDAQ-traded company, and as a regional sales manager for InterVU, Inc. In addition, Todd worked as the strategic analyst at the Weather Channel. He earned his MBA in marketing at the Carlson School of Management, University of Minnesota, and his bachelor's degree in history from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. Todd enjoys spending time with his wife and two daughters, traveling internationally. He's been to more than 50 countries already, and playing with his collie, Osh. Returning guest, Jim Light, is the president of Building a Better Redondo, a nonprofit resident group dedicated to preserving and enhancing resident quality of life. Jim has been an active community volunteer since he moved here in 1989, serving on the executive committee of South Bay Surfrider and a president and board member of the South Bay Parkland Conservancy. Jim's background includes engineering and executive leadership experience in the U.S. Air Force and the aerospace industry. Jim holds an aerospace engineering degree and a master's in business administration. And now, as you mentioned, Joe, this morning we'll be discussing the possible future of the AES power plant site right down there on Harbor Drive and Measure B, which will be on the ballot next month. Todd, Jim, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
All right. So where is my Joe?
wonderful to have you both, Todd and Jim. Thank you for joining us. It's historic. Without doubt, perhaps in our lifetimes, there will be no larger change in the landscape, and certainly the viewscape in Redondo Beach. This is huge. Nothing like this has happened in any of the beach cities in the South Bay, or perhaps even in Southern California as large as this. I mean, there's a great question about San Onofre nuclear power plant, but the plant's not going away. It's not operating, but it's not like leaving, and it's not going to be replaced with a park. This is huge. So the first thing that I want to do, and that we decided we wanted to do, is to try to get an impartial view of the text of Measure B out there for our discussion. So I'm going to start with the little blurb that's printed right there on the ballot that people are going to be voting on. Shall Redondo Beach phase out power generation from a 50-acre site currently occupied by the Redondo Beach Generating Plant and establish new land use and development standards for the site by amending the general plan, coastal land use plan, harbor civic center specific plan, coastal zoning, and city charter, with the new land use allowing 600 residential units, 85,000 square feet of commercial development, 250 hotel rooms, and requiring 10 acres of public open space. So that's the question right there near where people will be voting. And then there's a lot of text, but there is an analysis by Michael Webb, the city attorney, and we will draw from there. But first, I have to ask you both to respond to that description. Todd, what do you think of when you hear that description?
It's a long description, isn't it? and the ballot itself is very long as well, too. On paper, it sounds great. You know, we're going to get rid of the power plant and everything will be great, except that when you look at the actual effects of what could happen with getting rid of the power plant, constructing over 600 residences, 85% of which could be condos, 250-room hotel, when we already have, I believe, 6 or 7 hotels, commercial property. The effects that we're concerned about, obviously, are things like traffic and overcrowding of schools and the potential hit to the city budget. So that's where we're coming in from. I mean, if you look at our group and you look at the folks that are involved with our group, most of us are business people. You know, a number of us have MBAs. We're very pro-business people, but we're very concerned that this could impact our quality of life in the area. And so what we want to try to do is find something that's a little bit more balanced. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about things, Jim, I'm sure can get into more detail about this, but when we talk about things like 10 acres of open space, how do you actually define open space in this type of a project? And we're talking about potentially extending the green belt, which is great, but is that truly considered open space?
Well, I'm going to ask him, Jim Light. How do you respond to just that simple description, Jim?
Well, I think the simple description, as Todd said, probably sounds appealing, but when you peel back the onion, it's not a good zoning solution. It's bad zoning, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit deceptive because they, as Todd was saying, what they're calling public opens is what would normally be the perimeter sidewalks and things like that. So they're taking credit for things that would be there anyway. And then there's this additional requirement for 4 acres of open space internal to the development itself. Right. And what they define as public open space is very deceiving. There's no requirement to have a park in there that the residents could enjoy. They count things like walk streets, road medians, drainage ditches, and land use buffers as open space, public open space. And that's a new low for Redondo zoning. That sets a precedent that we've not established in any zoning anywhere else in the city. And that's the problem. Here, the property owner is writing his own zoning and paying money to get it on the ballot and to try to coerce us into voting for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's very one-sided zoning.
No, and I want to read this. You had asked if I could read the last paragraph of Michael Webb's. Michael Webb is the city attorney for Redondo Beach, and he has what is an impartial analysis of Measure B in the ballot that everyone received. So if you want to refer to this, you can. It's on Redondo Beach, page 13, it says in the ballot. The last paragraph, though, is interesting, and so I'm going to read that. Prior to March 3rd of 2025, right? So 10 years from now, prior to March 3rd of 2025, the initiative generally precludes city council-initiated amendments to Measure B without a public vote, okay? But it also goes on to say one exception allows city council amendments to portions of the measure subject to consent of the property owner. A legal question exists regarding enforceability of this consent requirement. Initiatives generally cannot name a private entity to perform any government function, power, or duty. And that's the end of the quote, but then Michael did not go on to say, or limit anything thereof or thereto. A private entity can't say, you can't do that to a government entity. Is that one of your basic objections, Jim?
Yes, one of the things you're hearing out of the campaign on the Yes on B side is, we can fix this later. But AES has stuck these clauses into Measure B that actually prevents the city council from having any real power to do anything substantive to limit the development below what AES has included in this measure.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it says, as you said, most of the stuff they can't change except by a vote of the people. They do say on the specific plan that the city council can make some changes, but it says that they shall review that plan with the intent of complying with Measure B, which includes these zoning caps. And it goes on further to say they can't change the zoning caps. And then one more step, it gives them veto power over any other changes the city council may make. So while people are saying, no, we can fix it later, if we vote this thing in, those mm-hmm. clauses prevent the city council from doing anything substantive.
Right. Well, okay, so now I'm gonna ask you, both you, Jim and Todd, you know, we had several shows on the question of AES getting their recertification process. They were having to go through the process of recertifying the plant for operations. They had a plan to, you know, reduce the plant to, I think it was 15 or 20% of its existing footprint. With a very modern gas-fired power generation facility, because AES as a company thought they needed this plant, and they thought that Southern California needed the power generation and so forth and so on. Well, AES, a private landowner, a business in the business of making money, a company in the business of making money, decided that they could make more money or the same amount of money or with fewer hassles by just stopping power generation entirely and going to this new plan of development. Many people were pushing for that at the time before Measure B, before there was any Measure B. But now are questioning this, what AES has come up with. Did we ask for this, Jim? Did we say, we want this property owner to get rid of this power plant. We don't care what they do, just get rid of the power plant. And now they've decided they know what we want to do, they've written it, and you believe it's one-sided, is that right?
That's correct. There was no public input on this before they rolled it out.
Right. Todd, is that the bottom line that AES was allowed to do what they thought was in their own best interests without oversight?
Listen, I think I mentioned a few minutes ago that a lot of us are business people, and we understand how the business world works. We understand that a corporation's job is to maximize shareholder value, and that basically means profit, right? So none of us that I know of have said, hey, we don't want AES to make money. But what we found is that at first they were telling us we need power.
Right.
And then when they weren't granted a license, or actually they actually withdrew their application for power, generating power. And they, and by the way, they received contracts, and they normally receive contracts to produce power. They looks like they weren't going to get a contract.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to change tunes, and they said, well, you know, what's the next best use of the land that we can maximize it?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously one of those ways is to have as much residential as you can. Residential for the property owner is a great moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, what does it do for the city?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're really looking to do is to actually have more of a balanced plan where you could have a little bit of residential, and you should have some commercial because commercial does pay the bills. And you might even have a hotel that has some hotel occupancy tax involved with it. But to not have any open space, the specified open space, in something like this is something we think is not so good. So why rush through it? At the beginning you said, hey, we have a golden opportunity here to really redevelop the area.
Mm-hmm.
We're pushing this through over a very short period of time, something that's going to last us well beyond the time I'm alive, maybe even beyond the time my kids are alive. You know, 100 years. We don't have a lot of chances to do this. Let's do it right. Let's take the property and maybe even combine it with the area down by the harbor and make a master plan. I mean, one of the things that, that you see is a lot of people, as Jim said, will have, hey, we'll fix it later. Well, I operate in business, and I don't know any businesses that say, hey, we'll fix it later.
Mm-hmm.
You plan now for the future. And the same thing goes for city planning. Let's do it right the first time and not say, oh, my gosh, what were people thinking 25 years ago?
Now, I generally would not mention a person's name in connection with yes on measure B, but government officials are fair game. And Steve Aspel, the mayor, is featured prominently anywhere that yes on Measure B is talked about. The quote from Steve Aspel is present. There are several other. Mike Jen, former mayor of Redondo, is prominently hit quotes from him are prominently displayed on anything related to yes on Measure B. Is it possible? Do you think that this is going to be? Is this going to be close? That's really what I want to ask, Jim. Do you think the vote is going to be close? Because people are so focused on getting rid of the power plant.
We don't, you know, we obviously don't have the funds as a resident group to go do polling. Our walks and things like that, I think, have been very positive feedback that people don't want a big residential development down there. But on the flip side, you know, as of January 17th, AES had spent over $266,000 on the campaign. And that's what they did on Measure A. That's what they did on Measure UU. They throw a lot of money at this, and then they throw in an intimidation. You know, the intimidation here is they'll build a power plant if we don't vote for this. That's a threat, first off. So I call it zoning by intimidation, and it's an occurrence that is very, very, very unlikely to happen. I wanted to address what you brought up before, that is AES bringing this up because they listen to the community and they're offering us this opportunity. No, they're bringing this up because they did not get a contract to produce power at Redondo from a new plant. And so now they're looking at their current zoning being parkland and public utility generation with no reasonable chance of getting any public utility approved at the site. So they want to get the most they can out of this land, and they're trying to do it by fooling us and threatening us that they'll build this power plant anyway. Now, as to Aspel's and Jin's support of this, it should be no surprise. They supported, both supported the heart of the city that had 2,998 residential units spread over a larger area, over the whole harbor area and up to PCH and along Catalina. But it's no surprise that they'd support something at this level.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is an exciting discussion. We're going to have future discussions on this show on the AES site and the Measure B, I think, as well. But I wanted to take a station break. You're listening to the South Bay Show. This is the South Bay Spotlight. We have Todd Lowenstein and Jim Light with us. We're going to talk more about Measure B and exactly what it means. If you'd like to call in, well, we're not taking calls today. We wanted to give plenty of time to Todd and Jim today, but we'd love to get your comments or questions on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheSouthBayShow, or you can certainly go to southbaybyjackie.com, find Jackie online, and your comments or questions will be taken into account in our next show. But, of course, we also have to thank a sponsor. So, Jackie, who do we want to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
All right. So Todd, I just want to read the short description one more time so that people can get this in their mind and then ask. You're not asking for something different necessarily. You're just saying the devil's in the details. So let me read this again, and then I'll let you respond. Shall Redondo Beach phase out power generation from a 50-acre site currently occupied by the Redondo Beach Generating Plant and establish new land use and development standards for the site by amending the general plan, the coastal land use plan, harbor civic center specific plan, coastal zoning, and city charter, with the new land use allowing 600 residential units, 85,000 square feet of commercial development, 250 hotel rooms, and requiring 10 acres of public open space. What I hear you saying, Todd, is that you have nothing, you have no problem with this, but hey, instead of 600 units, could it be 300? Instead of 85,000 square feet of commercial development, could it be 45,000 square feet? Instead of 250 hotel rooms, could it be 100 hotel rooms? And instead of requiring 10 acres of public open space, why not 15 or 20? Is that what you're saying?
Well, partly, yes. I mean, it partly is a question of scale, right? But I'm not in the business of actually planning something out. That's what city planners do, right? Mm. One of the things that obviously most people are very concerned about is traffic. Mm. And I talk to people that are young, that commute up and down PCH for work. I've talked recently to folks. I talked to a couple last night. They're 88 and 89 years old. Clearly, they're not doing the daily commute up to El Segundo.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned. They know that traffic is a big problem in this area. Public safety is a potential issue in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are that's the main thing. And I think if you do adequate planning, those are the things you avoid later. You don't do things like, you know, when asked I read a letter to the editor online last night, and somebody mentioned they were on the conference call with AES a week or two ago. And the president of AES had mentioned, how are you going to deal with traffic? And they said, oh, well, the developer will work on that, and they can do things like turn lanes, or they can do things like traffic management systems. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not really the developer's responsibility. It's the responsibility of the city. It's the responsibility of Caltrans.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so when we leave it up to developers to do those type of things, we're asking for trouble. It's one of the things, one of the reasons why Los Angeles has so much overdevelopment and so many traffic problems.
Mm-hmm.
The cities have not put their foot down, and residents have not put their foot down saying we want something better. But if I could go back a second and kind of address, you know, mentioning the mayor and also Mike Ginn, I consider both Steve and Mike associates and friends from doing a lot of political work. I served on the school board for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
A number of us have contributed a lot to the community. But when you look at what the mayor is saying now versus what he said almost 6 years ago, he basically said when we were in the Measure UU fight, which has to deal with the user utility tax, the natural gas, for example, he said that by the end of the campaign, AES had spent about $300,000 to $400,000, and they send out campaign flyers with misstatements and outright lies. And so the question I would have for you now is, what's changed over the last 6 years? What's changed so that AES is now a different company and they're now civically minded versus, say, a corporation? AES was trying to exempt itself 6 years ago out of a user utility tax on natural gas that every one of us pays. If I pay $20 a month on my natural gas bill, I pay more taxes than AES, which by far is the biggest consumer of natural gas. So I really question whether or not AES is so civically minded and looking out for the community, if they're not willing to pay taxes like the rest of us.
Mm. Well, if I were able to write a measure for Redondo, it would be called Measure J, and it would say that Joe Terry never pays taxes. I mean,
that's great. You know, I mean,
yes, for
Andrew Holmes said that's one of the prices you pay for civilization. Is you pay
so wait, could we call that Measure JJ?
Measure J for Joe and Jackie.
Yeah, yeah.
And throw Jim in there, JJ and J.
JJ and J and T.
Okay, well, I got to ask a question here because that brings me to something I've been wondering about. This measure got on the ballot. If there are groups of people that are not happy with it, why isn't there another option? Why is it just this one? Why is this our only option? Hmm. Why didn't another group of concerned resident citizens put another measure on the ballot?
I'll take that one. It's because to put a measure on the ballot takes a good 6 months of legal work to draft up something you know, that would legally stand on the ballot. So when they dropped the their ballot measure, they obviously had it timed so that they could get it on this election. We are drafting zoning, and one of our options is to, if this thing passes, is to come in afterwards and do a different initiative that shows a better mix of land uses. But that doesn't mean we should vote for bad zoning. And actually, what I'd like to see is this thing go down and not make it in. And AES will have to come to the table then. They're not going to get, based on the November 21st submission of the Southern California Edison to the CPUC, they knew as of August of this year, they were not even going to attempt to offer a contract to AES and Redondo because that's not where the power is needed. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that San Onofre's down. The power is needed down south, and that's why AES's plants at Alamitos and Huntington got contracts, but not one here. And SCE did an analysis in their submission that showed that for every megawatt they produce down at Alamitos or Huntington, they'd have to produce 5 megawatts in our part of the grid up north here. So it's not cost effective to the rate payers to put a plant in Redondo when the power would just have to be transmitted all the way down to Orange County. So they're not going to get a plant here. Nothing is going to change that in the next 10 years.
Right.
And so that brings AES's motivation. They want to optimize what they can bring in, and that's why this is all housing. Their own fiscal analysis of this shows that the housing element would be worth $660 million. And then they realized, hey, we got to throw in some other stuff to get it by the Coastal Commission. So they threw in 6% of the development as commercial, and they forced it to be underneath the high-rise condos that are lining Harbor Drive. So the only thing that can go on Harbor Drive is a hotel and then four-story high-density condos with some commercial tucked in on the first floor. We've already got two developments like that. One is at 1800 PCH and one is at 2001 Artesia. both of those, the commercial is underperforming. In fact, there was a recent Easy Read article that cited that the 1800 PCH commercial had a 45% vacancy rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, you know, people don't like to go buy at some little dinky lease space tucked in under a big residential development. So even the commercial portion that they put in here is sub-optimized because of the way they require it to be built into the zoning. So this is pure a pure play on AES's side to maximize their revenues, and it has no consideration of the impacts on our city. Like I said, reduced revenues from the commercial side, traffic. Todd talked about traffic. I did traffic calculations for the Air Force. I've maintained the software and the books to do that. And this development would generate over 10,000 trips per day, and then you have to add on the CenterCal development, and there's no way. PCH in this area is already rated an F, which is the worst grade you can get. Mm-hmm. Adding 10,000 car trips per day, you can't mitigate that with some developer's fees. A developer would not be able to afford to mitigate the traffic impacts of this development.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is interesting. I mean, Jackie, this is not too far from where you live, the 1800 PCH development. Have
yes.
you seen that as a success story or
well you know what it is, that opened up in about right about the time everything went down the drain, about 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody was leasing, so there were empty storefronts all over the place, but I think it's almost full now. All those stores, I drive by it almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Those shops are all in there. I can't speak to whether or not it's because the shops are underneath residential. I grew up in New York City, all right? So I know from mixed use, all right?
And high density, yeah.
Yeah, high density, yeah. I think it might have more to do with the fact that it's on a major street and it's maybe not so easily accessible to get in. I mean, traffic flies through there.
Yeah.
So I can't really speak to that. I can't speak to that. But you got to keep in mind the time that came online.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So the 1800 PCH has been up since, I believe, 98, and it's had a 45% vacancy
98?
Rate.
98, yeah. I think it's earlier than 2008, darling. Yeah.
If you drive a block from where this proposed development is along Catalina, there's a, I guess you could call it a strip mall, where there's a car wash, a green car wash, near the post office. There is.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else. I'm sorry. I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On Catalina. There's basically a small shopping area.
Mm-hmm.
There's 8 spots in the marquee. 3 of them have been filled. And this is over a year and a half. One's a car wash, one's a nail salon, and a new Japanese restaurant is going in now. So after a year and a half, mm-hmm. they're not even 50% full. And this mm-hmm. is a block from where we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
On Catalina, which is a somewhat major street in our city.
Now, what do you think, is it foot traffic that they don't have? What is it that's preventing, because in the village, a spot opens up and it's booked before, you know, it's cold. People are dying to get into the village because the foot traffic is fabulous, fantastic, and the atmosphere is fantastic for business. But maybe in that spot on Catalina, it just isn't working. And, of course, on Harbor Drive, there should be – I don't see a business not succeeding there. Do you?
I'd be glad to answer.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead, Todd.
I'd be glad to answer that.
Sure.
If you look at the trend in retail right now, the trend is not very good. The number of malls that have been built has been shrinking. Basically, Amazon is cleaning people's clocks.
Hmm.
And so, you know, if you look at who's got disposable income and who spends the most money for things, it tends to be younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Younger people are buying online from places mm-hmm. like Amazon
mm-hmm.
and other places, Zappos. So they're kind of, you know, shooing retail establishments.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trend. Then when you couple it with the construction over at Del Amo Mall, the proposed revitalization at Manhattan Village, The Point in El Segundo, and all these, by the way, have major thoroughfares running through them
mm-hmm.
where people don't have to pay for parking. They can go in. That's our concern. If you look at retail, it is not a good trend. I wouldn't want to be a short store owner anymore in terms of opening up new stores. It's
mm-hmm.
very scary
mm-hmm.
as a store owner. because
well,
people buying things
online. If you look right across, you know, to the CenterTel project, they want to put in 500,000, over 500,000 square feet of development. And now we're adding 85,000 on top of that of basically the same type of businesses. And there comes a saturation point, as Todd was getting to, where the market's flooded. What we don't have in Redondo, the reason the harbor isn't suffering from underdevelopment, what it's suffering from is the fact that there is not a daytime customer base and an off-season customer base to keep those businesses thriving during the off-season and,
right.
and weekdays.
Right.
And so if AES had actually designed it right, they would have put some type of commercial use there that brings professionals to their site that would then go to lunch across the street in the harbor and buoy everything up. We don't need this massive overdevelopment to get more revenue down in the harbor area. We just need the right kind of mixes of uses. And to not just say lump commercial into one big lump, there's different types of commercial. There's professional type things, there's institutions, and those would bring daytime traffic. The problem with putting housing down there is today 83% of Redondo workers commute outside of Redondo every day because there's not professional businesses to work at in Redondo.
So you're
taking away the daytime potential customers of this area and sending them to other communities.
Now,
so putting more housing there just exacerbates that problem.
Yeah. Now this is it. This is we're getting to the crux of something that Jackie and I had talked about when we talked about this show. You just said it, but let's amplify that. You're saying that we need more businesses that are going to be places where people can work. So that then they can, for lunch and after work, for dinner and so forth, go out and shop at the businesses that we already have, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly right. If you look at Rosecrans Avenue in Manhattan Beach, between Manhattan Beach and El Segundo, that thing's thriving because they've got the Air Force Base and they've got the aerospace industry that are all going to lunch. Right down in that corridor. We don't have that in Redondo. In fact, the 1992 general plan forced professional businesses out of Redondo because we converted a lot of industrial and commercial to residential condos.
Now, why?
And this just
extends
that.
Why? What is wrong with commercial development like that? That isn't in the plan that AES participated in developing Measure B. Why is
well? If you read Measure A, we did build that into Measure A, and that is exactly why. And the second thing is the traffic that's produced by that type of business goes opposite the flows of the rush hour traffic in Redondo. In other words, people would be coming into Redondo to work in the morning and leaving it in the evening, versus what 83% of Redondo workers do today, which is commute out and commute back. So yeah, you have some increased traffic, but it doesn't have the impacts.
So you're saying
just,
you need more office space.
We need professional business in Redondo. And I don't. That could be a marine science institute. It could be, you know, just recently I think it was Yahoo bought down in Playa Vista. There's companies that are looking for campuses to put in the LA area that are near the coast.
Hmm.
We should take advantage of that demand, and the AES property would be a prime one to do that. And it doesn't have to take up all the property, and it could be a good mix of parkland and this commercial use that would also then buoy up what's going on in the harbor without the massive overdevelopment. We could keep our harbor. We could keep the recreational aspects. We could buoy up the square footage that's already built. We could revitalize it. Mm-hmm. And all that without overdevelopment or any real impact to traffic.
Well, now, Todd, you see what I'm getting at is that the instead of being no on Measure B, we need to offer alternatives that make sense. And no one in the public sphere, it seems, really is offering credible alternatives. But I hear what Jim is saying, and if you have that kind of, you know, office sort of professional development, then those professionals that work there buoy the local economies. Is that what we should be talking about, Todd?
Absolutely. In fact, several months ago, Jim and I met with an architect from a major firm who suggested, why not look at a tech campus? Because if you look at the number of Silicon Valley companies that are relocating because of the talent down in Los Angeles, they're running out of space up in Venice and Silicon Beach area. They're moving south. They're moving to places like Playa Vista and El Segundo.
Playa Vista, yeah. I was about to say Playa Vista.
Yeah, Santa Monica, every cubbyhole, every alleyway is filled with companies, tech companies, you know, software development companies in Santa Monica. It's crazy.
I know the space really well. This is the space I work in. And companies are desperate to find office space down here. And so, you know, those are the kind of solutions we're looking for right now. And it's difficult sometimes to communicate that to folks because, A, we're being outspent, and, B, it's tough to do that in a soundbite. You know, one of the things that we've got going...
Todd, is that kind of space profitable for AES?
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at what Yahoo paid in Playa Vista, I don't know, I think it's $400 or $500 million.
But
that's a great
let me,
use.
But AES doesn't want to sell. They wanna be a landowner that profits long term.
No, they do want to sell.
They're gonna sell to a developer, yeah.
Okay.
One of the things we've got going for us down here is we have excellent schools. So when you're talking to tech folks, and a lot of them have young families, they're looking for places to educate their children. And so sometimes a lot of them will look, unfortunately, to avoid LAUSD, and they'll look for where the schools are really, really good and have high marks. Mm. That's something we've got going for us.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's something we could pitch to folks. There's not enough room in Hermosa, obviously, for this.
Right.
Manhattan is pretty full. Redondo has this possibility of opening up on the waterfront. Now, talking a little bit about schools, and not to switch the subject too much, but one of the things we haven't talked about this is the potential for overcrowding of schools. And that's a serious concern. I dedicated the last 8 years of my life to making sure our schools are top-notch.
Right.
The local school that is near here, the elementary, is called Burrell. My youngest daughter goes to Burrell. There's now almost 500 students who go to that school.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, there were 350, and we had to construct 3 new classrooms. There's no more space to house students. Paris Middle School, 1,100 students. There were 900 about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Very little space to construct new classrooms. The high school is now at an all-time high, 2,800 students. These are things that are all related back to what we're talking about in terms of scale. If we could find a way to scale this down, have less residential, have more commercial, maybe tech center-type spaces, large tech campuses, we avoid these types of issues.
It sounds like it won't matter one way or another to AES. They just want to sell at a high price, and this commercial space could be profitable, I assume, if it was purchased at the right price. And Facebook, you know, they're not moving down here, but they have satellite offices all over the world. They just bought 58 acres right near their existing campus, and they're building, you know, I call it spaceship too. Apple is building spaceship on their campus, and Facebook is building spaceship too in Menlo Park. This is what lots of companies want to do. Is they want to consolidate. They want to establish these kinds of campuses, and they'll pay. And
I think it's time to take our break. I got a lot of stuff coming up here, Joe. It's Valentine's Day weekend.
Well, let's take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking about Measure B and the future of the AES site. And actually, Jackie, who do you want to thank, or do you want to go?
I'm going to go right into the weekend guide.
Right into the weekend guide, all
right. Right into the weekend guide. Okay, before we get to the romantic stuff, the Redondo Beach Fire Department CERT Academy number 51 starts today, runs for 8 weeks. There may still be room, all right? All that information is on my website, so check it out. Okay, this is romantic. Lou's on the Hill presents Lou Sings Lyrics of Love, the first in a series of concerts. Lou will perform on the second Thursday of every month throughout the year. Thursday night, February 12th, for bring your special someone for an intimate pre-Valentine's Day dinner and concert featuring Lou Live, singing lyrics of love accompanied by a jazz quartet on drums, bass, piano, and sax. He takes the stage at 8 p.m. Why wait for Valentine's Day? As I said, this Thursday. For additional information and to make reservations, call 310-378-4288 or visit the website at lewsonthehill.com. Walk-in Dance Out hosts Swing and Sway at the Joslyn Center in Manhattan Beach this Friday night from 8 to 11 p.m. And the cost is $10 per person with light refreshments and no host bar. For additional information on that, you can visit the website at www.walkindanceout.com. This weekend, this what is it? Saturday, the first Saturday, second Saturday in March. Excuse me. The Lighthouse, the Point Vicente Lighthouse, is open to the public the second Saturday of each month. That's this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Admission is free. This is a nice, romantic way to spend the afternoon. You can stroll along the scenic trail, relax at one of the picnic tables. You take in the vistas of Catalina Island and contemplating the deep blue, pack a big picnic basket and prepare for a lovely Valentine's Day afternoon. For more information on that, you can call 310-541-0334 or visit the website at www.vicentelight.org. Art Flying Aerial presents a Valentine's Day aerial arts class on Saturday, September 14th from 12:30 to 2:30. Share Valentine's Day with someone special and join the wonderful instructors at Art Flying Aerial for this incredibly romantic class. As always, be sure to bring your energy and be prepared to have a ton of fun. And that's at Art Flying Aerial. It's $25 per person, and admission is free for AFA and AFY members. For additional information on that, visit the Facebook page. Art Flying Aerial is located at 2244 Pacific Coast Highway in Lomita. The South Coast Botanic Garden presents a sweetheart stroll in the garden on Valentine's Day on Saturday. Guests are invited to spend a romantic day strolling and picnicking in the intimate setting of the garden from 9 in the morning till 5 p.m. There will be live harp performances from noon to 4 p.m., and the gift shop will be offering complimentary hot chocolate and cookies while supplies last. End your stroll on the amphitheater lawn to meet Cuatro Diaz Winery for a complimentary wine tasting. And be sure to pack a lunch or light snacks. And admission to the garden is $9 for adults, seniors 62 and over, $6. Students with ID, $6. And that's the South Coast Botanic Garden. And that's located at 23600 Crenshaw Boulevard in Rolling Hills Estates. Friends of the Parks and Hermosa Arts Foundation present Jazz at the Pier, a benefit concert on Saturday, February 14th at the Hermosa Beach Community Center. The event begins at 6 p.m. and will raise funds for the 2015 Special Olympics World Games host town, Hermosa Beach. There are going to be three different vocal jazz groups, and admission is $20 per person. Tickets can be purchased by calling 888-410-3850. The 26th Annual Valentine Ball, a gala to benefit Palos Verdes Performing Arts, will be held in the Palos Verdes Ballroom at Terranea Resort on Saturday, February 14th from 5:30 to 10:30 p.m. Themed Midnight in Manhattan, the festivities include cocktails, hors d'oeuvres, a gourmet dinner, dancing to a live orchestra, and unique silent and live auction items. Guests will also be entertained with a special musical tribute to New York. Tickets are $225 per person. VIP and VIP Platinum tickets are also available. For additional information, you can contact Judy Getson at 310-544-0403. And also coming up early next week, Mardi Gras. Raging Cajun Cafe in South Redondo Beach will host a Mardi Gras celebration and parking lot festival on Saturday, February 14th. Guests will enjoy Zydeco music, classic Cajun food, a crawfish, shrimp boil, beer garden, and drink specials. All the fun takes place between 11 in the morning and 5 p.m. both days and is appropriate for all ages. The crawfish shrimp boil is $15 pre-sale, $20 day of the event. Call 310-540-7403 or stop by Raging Cajun today. And they are located at 525 South Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo Beach. Okay, the King Harbor Boating Foundation and the Waterfront Education Team invite the public to attend the STEM Topsail Open House on February 15th and 16th. Guests are invited to tour the tall ship, sample the tall ship, or sail the tall ship. The ship tour is free. There's a one-hour discovery excursion, $10 for kids, $20 for adults, and a two-hour extended adventure where you can become part of the crew and help sail the ship. That's $40 for adults, $20 for kids. Space is limited on the sail excursions, and reservations are highly recommended. For more information about the Waterfront Education STEM Topsail Program, visit King Harbor Boating Foundation at www.khbf.org. So, Joe, one of the tall ships is going to be down there this Sunday and Monday. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Now, those are just a few of the events taking place, so be sure to check the calendar links and things to do page on my website, www.southbaybyjackie.com, for details on these and other events happening throughout the South Bay, and I want to wish everybody a very happy Valentine's Day.
Yes. So, let me start with you, Todd. What would you say, and we've talked about a number of issues. I mean, we started off with trying to read the a succinct description of Measure B and the last paragraph of Michael Webb, the city attorney for Redondo Beach, indicates that a legal question exists regarding the enforceability of this consent requirement, indicating that any amendments initiated by the city council to Measure B could not occur without a public vote or basically the acquiescence of AES. What would you say is the number one most succinct argument against Measure B?
I think the things that we've talked about that are basically the issues, traffic would be obviously the number one issue that everybody seems to have an issue with.
Mm.
And we just think that the scale is too large. We need to work with the community. We need, the city needs to be involved and consider protecting our citizens. I mean, you know, basically what it comes down to is we have a choice. Do we want to govern ourselves in terms of electing officials that will look out for the best interests of our citizens, or do we want to surrender that to an out-of-state Virginia corporation that's looking to maximize profit? Or do we want to work with both groups? I mean, I moved here from out of state because it's a great community. It's a beach community. It's a terrific way of life and a great place to raise a family. And now we're looking at potentially converting this into West Los Angeles, where there's a lot of congestion, a lot of development, and it's not well planned out. And I think that's a major question that we have to be. What do we want to be when we grow up, I guess? Do we want to continue being a beach city? Or do we want to continue, or do we want to look at another option and be a very overdeveloped place? And I know, you know, Jackie's from New York, and you know, a lot of us are from different places. That's why we move here, because it's a nice, quaint little town next to a big city. Do we want to be a big city anymore? And so I think that's a major question that we have to ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And do we want to be able to govern ourselves in the right way?
Mm-hmm.
I would love for AES to make money and then leave town. I think that's great, you know, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the major point we have to look at.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
Same question?
Yeah, same question.
Okay. So my view is the power plant's going away anyway. I am so sure of that I would stake my professional career on it. And there's no reason we have to compromise with what's essentially a giant housing development. This is the last big open space that we're going to have to develop in Redondo Beach or on our waterfront forever. And why should we throw it away building yet another high-rise condo complex that, with some bad businesses stuffed in the bottom? We're throwing away the opportunity of a lifetime because we're in fear of AES's threats to build a new power plant. Like I said, I will stake my professional career. The power plant's going away either way. They will not get permission. They will not get a long-term contract to produce power from that site. It's just not economical. The PUC is not going to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys obviously don't agree with Measure B. As I asked you earlier, why wasn't there another option put on the table for the citizens of Redondo Beach? So let's just say Measure B doesn't pass. How soon before something can be done that you guys would be happy with?
Well, I'll address that. We've got zoning that we're ready to start taking to a lawyer to get drafted. But I really think the first thing is to see who gets elected on the city council, because the city council can move this through very quickly. AES is going to want to come to the table to get value out of their property. As I said before, they're zoned for public utility and parkland, so they have far more value with almost any other zoning that we would put on that property. So they will come forward, and if the city will sponsor the process, we can arrive at zoning very quickly. But if not, if the city stalls or the wrong people get in, we've got a ballot initiative that we're ready to roll out that encompasses not just the AES site, but the whole harbor area and up the power line corridor. Ours would get rid of the mini storage plants or provide incentive to do that. It would provide good development on the dirt farm. And it's an integrated, comprehensive look at what's available as a once-ever opportunity on our waterfront, something that the city is squandering right now by doing this piecemeal development that they're basically just giving over to developers to determine what they want to do. So the answer is we can quickly come to new zoning. AES would be incented to, because they are not going to get permission to build. They're not going to get a contract to build a new power plant here.
Right.
But they could do some other industrial.
No, it's not zoned industrial. They say they could bring in desal. They threaten they could bring in desal or a battery storage plant. Battery storage plant isn't going to go there for the exact same reasons. Power loss charging it up, power loss getting it down to where the power is needed. That's why AES got a contract to co-locate a battery storage plant with their Alamitos plant. It's got the infrastructure in place. It's near where the power is needed. They're not going to get a contract for that. Similarly, desal requires a lot of power. So they'd have to maintain all that infrastructure for the high power lines all the way back to the 405 just for a desal plant. There's currently a test desal plant at Energy El Segundo, which just powered up their new power plant, and they could put it right there next to an existing power plant with all the infrastructure already paid for and in place for the new power plant. There's no economic incentive and no efficiency to be gained by putting either of those developments in Redondo, and the city can easily fight either one of those developments.
Okay.
Well, It's wonderful to have you both on the show. You did a marvelous job, I think, of laying out the alternatives, and certainly I feel that, you know, we want to keep, don't want to be West Hollywood, or people talk about lots of people relocating from Brentwood and Beverly Hills down to the South Bay because it's a more livable area. And we want to maintain that quality and enhance that quality to the best of our abilities. Right?
You said
it
perfectly.
Right.
Perfectly.
Well, thank you so much, Todd Lowenstein and Jim Light. Todd, where can people find out more about your organization?
A couple of ways. One would be going to our website, which is www.4 redondo.org, or on Facebook they can like us. It's you put in R4 in the search bar and Facebook, or it's facebook.com/rightsizeredondo.
So it's we, the letter R, the number 4, redondo.
.org.
.org.
Correct.
Okay. And do you want to give any other contact information, phone number or anything like that?
Sure. People can contact me directly at area code 323-359-8683. And they can also email us at info@wearefororedondo.org, and we'll respond quickly with information.
Okay. So. Jim Light, perennially involved, perennially showing concern for the lifestyle of Redondo. Where can people get in touch with you, Jim?
They can get in touch with me at the phone number 323-924-1490. And BBR is not maintaining a separate website on this, so we steer people towards Todd's website, which you just gave
right.
The listeners.
Can you give your number again?
323-924-1490.
Okay, great. And that website is we, the letter R, the number 4, redondo.org. Redondo.
And,
yes.
And a program note, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have representatives from AES on the show.
Right.
To give their side of the story.
Right, 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Todd and Jim. It was a great show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And I hope lots and lots of people get a chance to hear this show and visit your website and get their questions answered before the March 3rd vote. Thank you very much for being with us. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. for Manhattan Beach 360. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.